The Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Welcome back to the Magic Podcast. It's 3 a.m. in California. I'm fucking knackered. I don't want to be here. But here I am. My name's Craig Petty, and this is the Welsh Wonder Wizard, Lloyd Barnes. Hello.
It's 10 a.m. here in Wales, and as always, I just don't want to be here. So, how's it going?
I'm tired, dude.
Petty Officer Strangle Wank.
That's, you know what? That's the coolest fucking name ever. That's going on a business card, that is.
Strangle Wank.
Look, I'm good. It's. I'm in California. It's the other side of the world. It's a ridiculous time zone. I'm jet lagged to fuck. So I'm waking up every morning at like 3 or 4 o'clock and I can't get back to sleep. And I'm spending all day in a studio filming magic tricks.
I'll say it again. I hate your life for you. I don't know why you do it, honestly.
I don't know either sometimes.
I even said, yo, we can happily skip this week's podcast because no one's going to be upset with you filming 9 till 8. Every day, so what's that, fucking 17 hour days,
yeah, something like that.
I'm so shit at my 11 hour days, 12 hour days, film, but and then getting up at 3 a.m. to record this. No one's gonna be pissed if you missed one episode.
No, but I don't want to let people down, you know. I'm a pleaser, I try to please people.
No one listens to this shit.
I look at the views and I look at the listeners and I would respectfully disagree.
Let's get into the fun stuff. Fuck it. The Unmasked Magician is now the main.
That is fucking amazing. I thought that the 10-minute video that was shared about the guy's process for finding him was brilliant. It was like watching a Netflix documentary. And Sarah pointed this out to me. I hadn't seen it, and Sarah never watches shit about magic, but she saw this video and she just watched it and she was transfixed about the whole thing. And Andy Gladwin, then I found the link on Andy Gladwin's page. He shared, I think he had something to do with it, or the guy's and his friend, I don't know, because he said, I'm going to be collaborating with this guy in the future. But I found the way that he unmasked this guy just equally amazing and scary as well, that you can go through a process like that, and no matter how,
yeah, because it wasn't like hardcore coding, so it was just kind of like a little few, like, oh, there's a loophole with Outlook or open something, whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know what these things are called. There's a loophole with that, and if you go try to send an email to this, you get their name coming up, blah, blah, blah. And like, it was like, oh shit, that's a really, really clever way of doing it.
Yeah. I mean, this guy obviously does this for a living. Like, this guy obviously is really good at this. For people that don't know, by the way, that we're talking about, that guy that's been exposing magic on the internet for a while now.
He's the magician that wears a mask. It's got like a big mustache, curly mustache, whatever it's called. He looks a bit like Salvador Dali. It's like a Salvador Dali type mask, and he just exposes any magic trick in the worst way possible. Like, obviously it's bad exposing magic tricks, but he just does it for literal like quick clicks. So he just buys a new product and then just shows it in 10 seconds how it works.
Yep. And people have been pissed off with him and pissed off with him, and now we're in a situation where he has literally been unmasked. It turns out he's a guy from Italy. He's a professional magician from Italy, so he makes his living doing gigs and doing magic. I imagine he makes a lot more from YouTube.
Mago Dominic is his name, isn't it?
Mago Dominic is the guy. And yeah, a lot of people have posted this video, but if you haven't seen it, go and look at it. It's this hacker who's not really into magic. He's not really a magician, but it's this guy, and he shares the process that he went through to actually unmask this guy and work out who he is and then verify who he is.
Domenico Cimienti.
There you go. And what I found interesting, so first of all, people have been hating this guy for a very, very long time. And he knows he's done wrong because he wore a mask. If you didn't give a fuck, you wouldn't wear a mask. Like, there's that other guy that exposes everything. The guy that's, like, got a face that you want to punch. The one that goes, points up like that in the corner. Yeah. He doesn't wear a mask. You know, he doesn't give a fuck. This guy obviously gives a fuck because that's why he wore a mask in the first place. So I don't know what he's going to do now. I don't think this is going to stop him because looking at the amount of views he gets, looking at the amount of clicks he gets and knowing the YouTube algorithm and the Facebook algorithm and TikTok and so on and so forth, I imagine he's making a lot of money from exposing these videos, and I don't think that's going to stop. I reckon it's a bit of a, you know, like a Rick Latz type situation where he's going to get more money from exposing magic than he does do from doing gigs. So I don't think it's going to stop him. But it's kind of very interesting that he has been exposed. One thing I found interesting, Lloyd, I want to know your opinion on this. When he first got exposed and the video was being shared everywhere, like every single Facebook group was talking about it. Like there were multiple posts on every single Facebook group going, oh, this is brilliant. This is the best video I've ever seen. Fuck this guy. Ha, ha, ha. Ross Stevens posted alluding to the fact that he's never going to be allowed at the Blackpool Magic Convention ever again because sharing a link to the video. Like, everybody was talking about it. But I've seen now, in the last 24 hours, a few posts of people saying, I feel a little bit uncomfortable with this mob mentality. I've seen a few people going, oh, why are we shitting on this guy so much? Like, his mental health is going to go down the toilet because he's got the entire industry coming down on him, celebrating the fact that he's being unmasked, and we don't know what this guy's going to do. And I disagree. However, I understand.
Actions, consequences.
I agree with that. I do know how it feels to have the community come down on you with the whole Red situation and with other stuff I've done in the past. Don't forget, I got a lot of shit years ago for doing team building sessions and exposing a couple of simple illusions, and like had hundreds of comments on various different Facebook groups and forums about that. It was just before I left the community, and I was like, at the time, I was like, I felt so shit about it because everybody was kind of attacking me. The difference is I felt shit about it because people didn't know the full story, and that I was getting people to sign NDAs, and this wasn't done on, on the internet, and so that was a completely different situation. So, but still, I understand what it feels like when the entire community comes down on you with a ton of bricks. But having said that, you kind of reap what you sow in many ways. Like he's done this for years. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He's exposing not just simple tricks, but he's exposing marketed tricks, he's exposing people's acts. And it's not to make the magic a better place. It's literally just to get clicks and views. That's why he's doing it. What's your thought?
I think there's some massive differences between what you were doing and what he was doing. I just zoned out paying an invoice then. Yeah, like, it doesn't really need to be explained how bad it is and how bad he knew it was. The fact that he went to such great lengths to evade being revealed, to keep his anonymity, the depths in which he went as well, like by friending so many people on Facebook to sort of scour as many tricks as possible. And then the amount of profit that he made from it, just completely, you try to do it with complete impunity. And this is just a wanker, a complete cunt who's had his pants pulled down publicly. And it's the one thing he didn't want, I imagine. I don't think it's going to affect him that much. Like in terms of, he'll still get, thing is, it's only magicians that are pissed off.
Yeah.
And the magicians ain't booking him for his gigs.
Nope.
So he's going to
struggle to go to magic conventions as Mago Dominique again.
Did he ever go to Blackpool?
I don't know. I mean, Ross Stevens posted, with a link to the video saying, I don't think we'll see Majo Dominique at Blackpool again.
He'll probably, I mean, it'd be good if Magic Companies blocked his credit cards and stuff and things like that, but I don't think that's gonna, you'll just get another credit card, you know what I mean? It's just good. I just don't think there should be any anonymity in Magic whatsoever.
Yeah.
Any anonymity in Magic whatsoever. Like, you've been through this before with, and we haven't got to drudge it all back up, but with like the Magic Cafe situation and people using false pseudonyms there. And I just think that it's 2026, and if you can't put your name behind something, if you're not willing to stand up for what you believe in, or be willing to say something publicly, you know, because it could hurt someone or upset someone or could affect someone's livelihood, if you, you know, whatever it is, if you're not willing to put your name to it for whatever reason, don't fucking say it. Don't be a coward. And I know there's people out there who will try and find mental gymnastics and ways in which to make it okay, or try and convince people that it's okay to remain nameless and hidden. But it's not. Like, just, you know what I mean? So that guy's going to come up with as many excuses under the sun to say why he was doing it, or...
Well, it's brought up the subject, Lloyd, again, which always comes up over and over again, of exposure in Magic. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? And there's people that are basically drawing parallels between this guy, Majo Dominique, and people like you and me, who put, you know, I put tutorials on YouTube on how to do tricks.
It's different things.
I know it is. But there's people out there that are drawing those parallels and saying, well, what's the difference between somebody pointed
to it's a fair question.
Yeah, somebody pointed to Murphy's socials, because Murphy's socials over the weekend, they published on their YouTube channel a video of, I can't remember who, a very famous magician from many, many years ago, teaching the chop cup. And it was like, literally, it was taken off one of the videos that Murphy's have got the rights to. And it was literally a teaching on how to do the chop cup and how to do this particular routine. And a few people have posted saying, hang on a minute, what's the difference? Here's this corporate company posting a YouTube video on how to do the chop cup. How is that any different to what he's done? Why are we ostracizing this guy for exposing secrets on a social media platform? And yet here's the largest magic wholesaler in the world doing it, and everybody in the comments and everyone is going, oh, that's amazing, thanks for sharing this, this is brilliant. Do you want to talk about that? I've got thoughts, but I'd love to know what you think.
Yeah, well, you go first, because I'm just paying an invoice.
Welcome to the fucking Magic Podcast.
£2,000 invoice for shipping.
That's terrible. I win with legal fees.
That's true.
And you, at least you get something for it. But that's still a shitter. Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. I think there's a world of difference. When you look at Lloyd, for example, does Lloyd put tutorials online? Yes, quite frequently. However, they're his own creation, and they're long-form content. The videos on Lloyd's YouTube channel, you have to invest time to watch those videos and learn how to do that particular thing. And if some, I've said this before, I'll say it again, there is elitism in Magic. There are gatekeepers in Magic. And I believe that you don't have to invest money in order to be a magician. If you like Magic and you've gone to the trouble of Googling it or searching on YouTube, and you find Lloyd's video, you find the Murphy's video, and you sit there and you spend 20 minutes watching it, and you've invested time in doing that, that is a completely different thing in my point of view than someone who puts a 30-second video up online wearing a fucking mask teaching you how to do somebody's trick who he hasn't even got the permission to teach. You teach your own stuff. Murphy's are putting a video up off a project that they own the fucking rights to. When I put a tutorial up and I did my lectures, and I do every couple of months, I do a lecture, it's a lecture on my fucking material. My material. I choose to do that, and it's normally a 1-hour video. If some motherfucker has invested an hour in watching that video, fucking brilliant. That means they've invested the time and they deserve to see that stuff. You know, let's not forget that YouTube is creating more magicians and fans of magic than anything else. If there was no YouTube, if we could turn back time and stop YouTube and any sort of video sharing from existing ever, I think magic would be in a completely different situation right now. I think the reason that magic has grown, and it has grown, magic is in a better place now than ever before. The previous winner of Britain's Got Talent last year, magician. Dalton Buzzer, everyone's raving about Rafferty Coop, magician. I'm seeing more gigs that coming into my business than ever before. Like, magic is in an all-time high right now, fact. And I think a big part of that is YouTube, is people can search and they can find, it's like a library, it's like a modern library. People can search on YouTube and they can find all this information and they go down a rabbit warren, and step one is they watch a few tutorials on YouTube. Step two, they find a Lloyd Barnes thing and they start making that up. They then Google Lloyd Barnes, they find Penguin Magic, they buy a product off Penguin Magic, and now they're in. Then the next thing you know, they're at Blackpool, they're going to conventions, whatever the case may be. I think that there's a world of difference between Murphy's putting something up they have the rights to, which is obviously designed, because let's be honest, Murphy's make more money when more people buy magic. So they want as many people as possible getting into magic. That's just business 101. And I think there's a world of difference between putting a long form video up that they have the rights to and taking somebody's trick and in 30 seconds just exposing what it is and wearing a fucking mask. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's opinion-based. So it's not a misconception, but people seem to think... There's a quote, isn't it? The door to magic is closed, but it's not locked. People feel like... I think this mentality is somewhat dying out finally, because far and wide, it seems to be that. It's only just like the last like archaic minds seem to be echoing this, but... Some people get into magic and they feel like it's theirs to keep, forgetting that they were also allowed through that door that isn't locked. And times have changed, whereas the way in which you were able to learn magic wasn't on, the internet didn't exist. So the ways in which you would learn magic would either be somebody teaching you how the trick worked, so having like a mentor, or go into a library or a magic shop. People don't go to the library. I mean, I love the library, but people don't go to the library as much anymore. Brick and mortar magic stores are dwindling. And people do still have magic mentors, but communication is done by and large online. Magic stores are by and large online. The largest library or source of modern information in the world is YouTube. That is the library. In the library, there was no gatekeeper there saying you couldn't take out the magic book that had the secret you wanted to learn in it. No librarian would stop any person unless they were, you know, breaking the law. But if there was a book in the library that taught you how David Copperfield could fly, maybe he's not the best example to use, but teach you how of Darren Brown's lottery prediction worked. If there was a book, if there was multiple copies in every library in the world, there'd be no librarian saying you can't look at that. You're not allowed to look at that. And you'd have to sit down, go through the process of reading that book and learning the secret and understanding the secret. And then you've earned it in a sense. And nowadays, you still have to go through that process. The delivery is somewhat easier to digest and is somewhat easier to achieve. But there are two different avenues. One is people forcing those methods down your throat in a short form content, and also they're not theirs to teach. And that's where exposure—that's exposure. That's what the masked, now the unmasked, whatever his name is, magician Mago Domenico Cimienti, whatever it is. That's the content that he's spewed into the world, taking people's tricks, filming them in 30 seconds and trying to just blitz the public eye with it as fast and as intensely as humanly possible to make profit for himself. And then there is magic tuition online, which are magicians calmly, concisely teaching people how to become better magicians through the same gateways in which have always existed, just in the modern delivery format.
Yeah.
Like a library, the cost of entry is just being interested and being able to go there. And thanks to the YouTube algorithms and the way and other format algorithms, this content isn't being shown and forced and pushed under the noses of people who aren't interested in it and are not going to watch it. Because if you are interested in cars and you watch car videos, you're not being served up Craig Petty's lecture.
No.
It's as simple as that. And when you start to watch it, if you're not interested, then you're not going to bother going through the motions of it. And that's why most people these days now understand the disparity between exposure and tuition.
Yep.
And yeah, the amazing thing is magic's more popular now. And there are more magicians doing magic than ever before. That's only a good thing.
Yep.
I mean, you could argue that it makes it less rare to see publicly, but I just think magic should be shared. So the more people learning magic, the more people, that means the more people are performing magic, and that means the more lay people are experiencing magic. It's amazing. Absolutely yep. Fucking amazing. And you can see that this the way that I think about it works is because that you know, in terms of like a monetary sense, we don't put up our YouTube videos for money.
No. Nope.
Because I think on a good month, I think you earn more than me on YouTube because you have so much content on there that runs so long. On your best month, I think, I remember once you showed me a clip of like, you had like 700 quid earnings on YouTube.
Yeah, 700 quid at the absolute most. I think I pushed 9. Oh.
Literally, fuck all. I like this month, I think I can show you what I did this month. I can show you. It's a couple of £100. It's nothing. It's not worth the time that we put into it.
No, not at all.
There we are. This month's revenue, £500.
I think that's kind of where I'm at as well. Let me show you.
It's literally enough to go out for like 2 activity days with the kids or something. You don't make any money off YouTube doing long form content the way that we do, focusing down on a niche. I literally show people and teach people my magic because it's my hobby. That is my hobby. So the argument that you're doing it, I mean, if someone's going to come back and say, oh, £500 a lot, this is 2026.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time that it takes me to put together a YouTube video, and the amount of time you put out a lot of content, but it takes up, like you put up, like say you put 27 videos a month and each one takes you half an hour to an hour to put up. That's 27 hours plus a month.
Yep.
For 500 quid, like, people don't seem to realize like 500, yeah? You put up 27 videos a month, yeah?
No, I put up, hang on, I put about 40 videos up a month.
Okay, let's just call that 30 then, right? Because I'm going to say, divide that in hours. So say 30 hours, yeah? That's £16 an hour for a month. So divide, and what, so six...
More than that, because my videos normally take half an hour to an hour to film. I mean, then there's editing,
14
minutes, then there's upload.
Well, about 15 hours. That's less than minimum wage. And someone with your talents and like the things that I can do as well, like if I spend that many hours on anything else, like I could easily make like 6, 7, 8 times, 9 times that, 10 times that amount of money. So people don't realize that when the people like me and you are doing tuition and trying to teach people the right way about magic and the things outside of just the core method, it's absolutely not for financial or personal gain.
Not at all.
I just fucking love making videos and I love making magic tricks. It's as simple as that. But people like him are doing it purely for personal gain at the cost of other people's work.
Because when you're making short videos like he does, you can actually make a lot of money.
You can make a fucking ton of money. Yeah, and that's where the money is. If I just sat down and did all my content as short form content in a way which would force it into the eyes and the hands of lay people, I'd be a millionaire.
Yep. Yep. And you
could believe if
you know, you could edit stuff and make it look really snazzy. You could, if you wanted to, do videos, do short form content and make a fucking fortune.
I could do it off my own material.
Yeah.
And I could do it with my production value. And I'm like, not in an arrogant way, but I'm pretty certain I'm a better magician than him and I'm a better videographer than him.
Yep.
And if I put as much time into my long form content, which I do for no money, I'm certain I'd be a multi-millionaire by now.
Yep.
But it's abhorrent and it's disgusting and it's vile. And I'm not interested in teaching lay people how every magic trick works. I'm interested in teaching people to become better magicians. That's it.
Here's a question for you, playing devil's advocate, because I saw somebody say this online. What are your thoughts? How much damage is somebody like him? How much damage is his videos actually doing? And what I mean by that is he typically puts up short form content, 30 seconds. His stuff is shown to a lot of people. If you've watched a magic act on YouTube, on Britain's Got Talent, YouTube will go, oh, you maybe like magic. I'll show you this guy who exposes the videos. So his stuff is being shown to a lot of people because he's very, very popular. But if you've not really got an interest in magic at all, maybe you watched a YouTube, maybe you watched Britain's Got Talent or something, you're not really got an interest in magic, and you're scrolling through your reels and you see this guy explaining how to do fucking Lux, for example, because I know he's done Lux. Are people going to remember that next time they see a magician do Lux at a gig? Because honestly, I could be doom scrolling through fucking YouTube and I can't remember 2 hours later what those fucking reels are that I've looked at. I just can't remember. I'm just there mindlessly.
It depends how much stock you put into your secrets versus your performance. To me, the secret to the effect is only 5% of the magic.
Mm.
Right? And like, oh, maybe more in some circumstances. But if you put all of your value for what you do in the secret, then him telling people your secret removes all your value.
Yep.
If, however, you perform and you create, it could be a fascinating experience. It could be fun. It could be have a really fun fucking performance. It could be whatever it is. Then exposing the secret doesn't really set the scale going. For example, like if you look at someone like David Blaine, he said, aside from like one or two things like the ice pick through hand, but like a large part of his repertoire for the longest time, and he still does it now, is like watch steals, two card Monty. I'm not sure if he still does this, but like Bitten and Restore Coin. I see he uses like cipher or variations of it, you know, with calculator stuff. All that's out there in the public domain.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he does a lot of this on camera. He does a lot of, he performs probably every day of his life.
Yep.
And people could go off and just Google his stuff. Is it affecting his perception of people going around the world saying that he's shit or they know how it's all done? Or like, to me, if you use him as a case example,
yeah.
Is it affecting him?
No.
The only people that are going to be badly affected by it are the people who are going to crumble when, if someone goes, oh yeah, I saw the secret to that. It's a shell coin.
Yeah.
And they go, oh fuck.
Like those lay people, the gigs that have a little bit of memory and a little bit of knowledge and they think everything's about that thing. Like, oh, I bet you did a double flip. You turn the two cards over, you know.
What do you do in those situations? Because you probably get people saying, you know, you perform for so many people, you're going to find...
Yeah, I go one of three ways. The first way is, if somebody calls me out on something I've done and they're right, I'll just own it. I'll just go, yeah, well done. Do you want a fucking gold star, mate? Well done. Oh, sorry, did you think it was real?
I do magic tricks, not miracles, mate.
No, it's not real. And by the way, sorry to break it to you, Santa doesn't exist. Deal with it. But that fits into my persona, because my persona as a performer is, this shit's not real, and I'm just going to try and fool you, but I'm going to do it in a really fun way. And
because, right, so when I say you don't, people who don't put much stock into their secrets, and or don't put their value is their entertainment, not their secret, it won't affect you, right?
Yeah, because that kills them dead. Because they're saying that to make an impact. They want to get a rise out of you a lot of the time. They're normally the alpha male that's trying to make you look silly in front of a group of people who go, oh, no, we did. Turn two cards over. Yeah, well done. I did. Yeah, but you turned two cards over. Yeah, I just told you I did. Yeah, should we move on now? Yeah. It kills them dead. They've got
like
no
when someone calls you a name in a public setting or says something under their breath and say, oh, sorry, can you say that again? And you go, and you know, you look and you say, can you repeat that? Sorry, I didn't hear you. And it makes them look like a twat. Also, people have to realize that those people are always going to exist. They've always been around. And they may just get the method wrong. But then they may be in their head, they're right. So there's no difference there, even if they've seen it on a reel or they've just tried to guess the wrong method and they're steadfast in their belief of it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's been exposed or not, you know? So anyway, what are the other two ways you handle it?
So that's the first way I deal with it. The second way I deal with it is, if they're wrong, or even if they're right sometimes, I'll use a completely different method. So for example, if I'm doing an ambitious card and the card comes to the top and he goes, I'll bet you turned two cards over. I'll go, right, okay, John here thinks that I turned two cards over. So I'll tell you what we'll do. You put the card face up in the middle of the deck and I'll do a pass. And I'll have it visually appear on top of the deck. And I'll just look and I'll go, got any other questions, John? Should we move on? And I'll do that if again, my character can get away with that, but I'll do that if it's kind of a very obvious alpha male. If it's somebody who has been kind of going at me a couple of times and then he said that, and I know I can perform it the same way to shut him up, I will do that. That's kind of my sort of thing. You've seen me perform, you know.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and that works. And then the third way, if he does that, I'll go, well, no, I didn't do that. I used a completely different method. And I'll tell you what, you can actually do this yourself. And I'll do a trick where I make that guy the star. So let's say he's like, oh, he knows a little bit of thing. He controlled the cards at the top of the deck or something. I'll do a trick where I have somebody else pick a card. And I'll say, now you're gonna, and I'll palm the card and I'll hold the deck and I'll hold it so he can see the palm card and only he can see it. And we're like, right, a minute, you're gonna look at this person, their card somewhere in the deck, and you're gonna tell them what the card is. Do you understand? And the guy will go, yeah. And now I've put it back on top and I'll go, right, and I'll show them the bottom card. So no, that's not the card. I'll give them the deck. I'll go, concentrate on the card, tell them the card, and he'll tell them the card. He now feels like a million fucking bucks. He's my best friend. And that works really well as well, kind of empowering the spectator. If you make that alpha male feel like the star, they're your best friend and your biggest advocate. And I've been in gigs where somebody's started to try and bust me. I've done something like that. And the rest of the night, they've gone around and they've gone, oh, you got to see this guy's amazing. You got to see this guy's amazing. And it very much depends on the type of, it depends on the environment and the person. I've done this long enough to be able to read what to do in any given situation. But it's normally one of those three approaches.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good way to handle it. And I've done that as well. I spoke about this in another video. The ways in which I handle it is like, now I'm in a place where a lot of the magic that I do, the stuff that I do in the real world, it's my own material. So you can't really find it, which is really helpful. I always have backup methods. So I always have secondary methods that cancel out the first methods. And the other thing is about, I'm in a different position to most people, but it's about qualifying the audience. So I'm only ever going to show magic to people that ask me to show magic to them. And I'm never going to perform someone who's like, come on, then impress me. Fuck off. I'm not your fucking performing monkey, you cunt. This is like, you know what I mean? In my head it's like, no, I might let you see something amazing, but if you're gonna have that attitude, you can fuck yourself. You know what I mean? And then if someone's just purely out there, like if you're in the middle of performing and a heckler walks over and the group's really responsive to it, as responsive to you, and then suddenly this dickhead comes over and starts trying to spoil everything. It's just simple. Oh, thanks, guys. Listen, this guy wants to be the star of the show for the rest of the night, so I'm going to let him carry on. See you later. Come and find me when he's not around.
Yeah.
So, and then let him look like a wanker.
Yep.
Move on.
That's the thing, you know, in a gigging situation, I sometimes get a situation if I'm doing table magic, so like a banquet type thing, like you've got tables of 10 in a room, there's like 10 tables of 10, you've got to get around everybody, your table, 20 tables of 10. I sometimes get the situation, especially in corporates, if the drink has been flowing and it's later on in the evening, I'll sometimes get a situation where I'll go over to the table and I'll go, hey, my name's Quake, I'm the magician, you guys okay? And one alpha male that's maybe been wanting to be the fucking man, he'll just go and, can you make yourself disappear, mate? Or something like that. And I go, oh, very funny, never heard that before. Anyway, I'm here to do some magic. And the guy will go, I don't want to see any magic. This entire table doesn't want to see any magic. In that situation, regardless, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to go, okay, no problem. I hope you guys have an amazing night. Thanks very much for taking the time to chat to me. And I'll be very professional, I'll be very polite, but my fucking mission is to go to every single fucking table anywhere near that table and have them screaming and laughing and having a whale of a time. And there's been many, many times where I've had somebody else from that table come over to me and say, we're sorry about the other guy. Can you please come and show us what you're doing? And then I will.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly that. Make him feel like an arsehole.
Yeah.
Yeah. No worries, guys. Listen, so-and-so wants to be the star of the show for tonight. Have a great night. Bye.
Yep.
We'll fuck off.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
But yeah, so that brings us round back to the point of, you know, how much damage was... The question is, how much damage is he doing? And I suppose it's only as much damage as you allow him to do.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I suppose it might be slightly different if you're a stage... This was the same argument that was said 30 years ago when the masked magician, the original masked magician, exposed how 99% of stage illusions were.
Yeah.
What's happened since then?
Nothing. Those illusions are still done. No fucker has a clue how they're done. It's, you know.
Not many of your audience are watching you because they think you're doing real magic. I'd say the large part of the audience that are watching magic shows are just looking for some different entertainment.
Yeah.
And that can be under the guise of appreciation, having fun, just literally content for the eyes, the visual arts.
Yeah.
If you put all your stock into The Secret, then you are, you know, open to the damage, but just act like he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Just act like he doesn't exist. I don't know. It's about growing a thicker skin and asking yourself, like, train yourself. Like, imagine someone says, you know, I'm talking to the listeners out there more than anything, but like, imagine you've just done Crazy Man's Handcuffs. And someone says, oh, I've seen the Masked Magician show you how to do that. You just stick one finger in the hole and one help the other. I say, yeah, that's how I met your mum. Move on. You know, no, but you'd say, oh, yeah, that would be an interesting way of doing it. But you want to try? Or do a different presentation? Like, I don't know. It's about, yeah, I it's never bothered me. Like, exposure like that. It's bothersome. From an artistic point of view, in that he's just taking people's work and just fucking dismissing it like that. But it doesn't bother me in thinking like, oh, now I'm suddenly, oh, I've been exposed. They know I'm not a magician. Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, and I can see there are horror stories out there where people go, oh, yeah, I did a show and someone came up to me afterwards and they told me they knew like the zigzag lady was just breathing in, standing into the side. Okay. But how many people were in your audience and how many of them come up to you? Did it ruin the show for everyone or was it just one person?
Yeah. Absolutely. Completely agree. Completely agree.
The only people really suffering are those that are releasing magic tricks where they're selling purely the secret, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not many of those.
Well, like, one of the most exposed trick of all these people is Acme Hole, right?
Yeah, a trick.
All the exposures do Acme Hole, which is mine. It hasn't affected me in the slightest.
Mm.
And that's something you buy to learn the secret because you got to make it yourself.
Yeah.
So I can speak from experience. I mean, yeah, so that's my thoughts on it. But you know what? Fuck that guy's fucking... Fuck people worrying about, oh, he's going to be so sad. He's going to be so... He's going to get dragged over the coals. Oh, he's going to have such... Let him be dragged over the fucking coals.
Yeah.
Thing is, right, in the scenario that you mentioned, in the two scenarios that you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned the other one, but like, when all that shit went down with Red, the first thing you did was apologize.
Yeah.
Open to it and seek to make it right.
Yeah, pulled the product.
I'm alleging about the fucking other situation, but using magic as a way of like as a group building exercise is actually cool as fuck.
Yeah, and it's all done with NDAs in place, and it was all about giving people, like, making them understand that the importance of how difficult magic is, and getting them to do something and really pushing them out.
That's cool as fuck. I don't know why anyone would. I bet a lot of the backlash about that wasn't actually people who were actually worried about it affecting anything to do with magic. Probably just people who were still pissed off at you about Red. Because that's actually a really fucking great concept. Anyway, I don't know how you handled it. Did you just straight up like be like, okay, yeah, I'm sorry?
Well, that's why I got kicked out of the magic circle, because I was getting to the end of leaving the community. And everyone was talking about it. There's like a 50-page thread somewhere on the Magic Cafe. And Scott Penrose, who's the president of the Magic Circle, contacted me and said that the Magic Circle wanted to speak to me about exposing illusions. And I was like, well, you know, what do you want to do? And they were like, they wanted me to come to London to the Magic Circle to plead my case. Because they wanted me to remove that from my business. They wanted me to stop doing it. And I'm like, you can't fucking tell. You're a club. You can't fucking tell me what I'm doing in my business and what I'm not doing in my business. Fuck off. And then when they wanted me to plead the case, I'm like, I'm not going to London. I'm not going to fucking London. I'm not going to London to beg you to allow me to do something in my business. Who the fuck are you lot? Take your fucking magic circle, turn it sideways, polish it nice and shiny, and take every single one of the council members, bend them over one by one, and systematically shove it each up every single one of their asses, you dumb fuck. Roughly how the conversation went. Maybe. It's a long time ago. At least that's how it mind. But that's the reason why I didn't technically get kicked out. I was told not to renew my membership because it was up for renewal, which is effectively the same thing, really. So, yeah, there you go. So there was a big backlash about that. But when that happened, I was on my way out of the community anyway. The whole Red thing had happened. There was a billion other things. And so I was just like, fuck them, I don't really care. And I just left. That was the icing on the cake. I think that was the straw. Because when Red happened, I kind of stayed in the community for a while. I didn't leave, even though I felt kind of shit. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was kind of what made me go, fuck you all, and left.
Got you. Yeah, well, then... yeah, that's how you handle the situation. So far, he's gone silent. He's in hiding, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe he is. He's not posted any new videos, has he? I don't think. Or maybe he has. I don't know. I'm not really...
I mean, there's not really any redemption. In those two scenarios, you weren't... you weren't doing those things with, like, nefarious intent. You weren't doing that, like, ha 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 ha, I'm going to fucking expose everyone's magic tricks and I'm going to make loads of money from it, but I know I'm going to get in trouble, so I better hide my face. just a bit of, I don't know, inexperience, bit of making a fuck up on your side and accountability. It's about a large part of it's about accountability, but it can only extend so far when you know, with knowing how much you're doing is wrong. I can't phrase that correctly, but it's like I'm trying to think of a comparative that would kind of like make sense. Imagine you were using Wi-Fi in your house, and there was like a pay-as-you-go meter, and it turns out you were accidentally using your neighbor's Wi-Fi, and you'd run up a bill. And you go, fucking hell, I didn't realize I was using your Wi-Fi, mate. Shit, let me pay that bill and let me pay it for the next 6 months as well, because I didn't realize what had gone wrong here, right? Some weird scenario like that. That, you know, everyone would be like, you know, I'm assuming that your neighbor would be like, oh, shit, oh, thanks, man. Yeah, no worries. Honest mistake. Versus the scenario of you going, huh, I'm going to get my neighbor's fucking Wi-Fi password and I'm going to run up a fucking huge bill and then I'm going to get it refunded to me. Or, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's probably a terrible example.
But it's actually decent. I understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. So, and then he's done it for years. And he knows the effect. That's the other thing as well. He knows the effect that this is having on the creators.
Mm-hmm.
And the community. And so we can't really... I don't think there's any... I think, like, it's like in sport, you know? If, like, when a boxer is doping, that gives them an advantage. You know, you can do really serious damage when you're, like, when you can outlast someone in a boxing fight, you know, with endurance and things like that, and EPO. And, you know, I think things like that are should be lifetime bans. And it's the same for magic. You can't really ban someone from loving magic.
No.
Or I don't know if he loves magic, but you can't ban someone. No one can stop him doing magic.
No.
End of discussion. No one can stop him buying magic. End of that discussion. No one can stop him being a fan of magic. End of discussion. All we can do is ostracize him from our ranks in as many ways as possible so that he becomes a pariah.
Yeah, can't agree with that.
Right, so he shouldn't be welcome at any convention ever. He shouldn't be welcome to buy from any magic shop ever. If there's any way they can block his IP or he probably uses VPNs, but if they block his bank cards, his name, his likeness in any way, shape, or form, get rid of him. And, you know, just allow him to be the laughing stock of the community.
Yeah.
I think it's not very funny. You can't really make jokes about it. He's just taken from others and fucking used it to profit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hope he's having the shittest time of his life. I hope he's in a really, really dark place.
Wow. Wow.
So he should be, because he knows what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Bill Cosby, I hope he's in a really fucking dark place. Harvey Weinstein, Ted Karmalevich's fucking ghost. People that support Ted Karmalevich, the Magic Cafe moderators, like, they know what they're doing. They should be in really dark places. There's no excuse for it.
Yeah.
He knows what he was doing and he's been doing it for years. So fuck him.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
They're cunts.
Yeah. You could.
So I don't fuck worried about how he feels.
Yeah. You can compartmentalize anything to yourself if you try hard enough. You can go, I'm not doing anything wrong. That's probably what's going through his head. But yeah, I agree. You know, if he was doing wasn't wrong, you wouldn't have hidden his face.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. There's a reason he wore a mask. He wore a mask because he did not want people to know what he or who he was. So, anyway, we've wasted enough oxygen on that motherfucker. Can we talk about something else? I want to talk to you, Lloyd, about this whole fucking open prediction that's been put. Do you know about this whole open prediction thing? The jerks have been talking about it.
Yeah, by a person called like the unnamed magician or something.
Yeah. So this guy, for people that don't know, the unnamed magician is a guy that's been bringing magic out for a very long time, normally through library.com. So he brings out
Pay tools.
Normally,
Lightco. Thank you.
Normally, this unnamed magician brings out magic through the through library.com, and he brings out ebooks, and a lot of his stuff is very procedural, very kind of boring, to be perfectly honest, but also designed to fool magicians. Well, a few days ago on the Magic Cafe, somebody posted about a new trick. I'm going to read you this because I want to know your thoughts. The Unnamed Magician, who many of you are probably familiar with, is releasing a new effect soon, an open prediction effect. He has created a version without any stooges or dual reality that appears perfect from the effect point of view. As you watch the performance video, remember that if you were the participant, you would experience the same effect exactly as you do whilst watching the video. So there's genuinely no dual reality or stooging, as hard as that may be to believe. The method does use a gimmick, so it is not gimmick-free. However, the deck is not gimmicked in any way, as mentioned in the performance video. So the gimmick, which makes the effect possible, is external to the deck. The method is not 100% surefire, but it's about 97% surefire. Blah, 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 blah. For this, this is the bit I want you to understand for everybody listening. For this particular project, the Unnamed Magician is not going through any retailers. He's selling the trick directly. And his plan is to run a pre-sale and to then release the method if he achieves a particular sales target. Since this is his strongest effect to date, he has decided to do this. Otherwise, if he released the secret as people bought the effect, the secret will leak within a day or two to pirate sites hurting sales. Thus, buyers will only receive the secret if the Unnamed Magician reaches a certain sales target within a reasonable amount of time, say 2 to 3 months. In the unfortunate case he does not achieve the desired sales target, he will refund all the buyers. For those who are interested, can email blah, 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 blah. As far as I'm aware, the price of the effect is $100. Then a link to a performance video, which is just a guy in a kitchen with other people chatting in the background doing this effect, which I'll describe to you in a second. I want to mention one more thing, which is worth talking about. The Jerks has talked about this in great detail. He's put two different posts about it. And what the Jerks has actually said, let me just bring it up here. hang on. So the Jerks, let me just find it. Has talked about this and I cannot find it. Here we go. So somebody messaged in because the Jerks basically talked about this and said, it's impossible. This method doesn't exist. It cannot be done. And he offered the guy, Unnamed Magician, to send him the effect and how it's done. And if he's wrong and it can be done and it's as practical as the guy saying, then he'll personally give him $20,000 and guarantee 200 sales, and he'll rave about it on his blog. And somebody wrote in and said, I saw your post on the Unnamed Magician's open prediction trick. I've collected a lot of his published works. So I'm familiar with his thinking. There are some tricks that he's already published that are appearing impossible prior to publishing them. It's because of this that I suspect his open prediction trick may be real. This wouldn't be the first time he's come out with a trick that's seemingly impossible. There are some conditions listed on the page. In light of those conditions, I and many of my magician friends thought this trick to be impossible before it was published. Blah, 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 blah. And the Jerks have said a bunch of people have emailed me to ask if I'd been taken up on my offer in my previous post to promote and purchase 200 copies of the open prediction. The answer is no, which means you can pretty much put this one to bed. He says there's a big difference between the tricks, though. If you look at the Unnamed Magician's work, it all has very unnatural procedural methods. To think he's all of a sudden figured out a straightforward trick with no apparent method seems unlikely to me. This is the sort of how you know the trick isn't real by comparing it to his previous releases. There's no connective thread between the type of tricks he's released in the past and this one, and he just happens to have a completely different marketing strategy for this effect. If enough people pay me to release the trick, oh, that's convenient. I feel bad for the guy because it seems like he needs money, but this isn't the way to go about it. I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm in a position where I can help if this is real, or help everyone else by pointing out it's not real. No need to email me to see if he's been in touch about taking me up on my offer. I'll update you if that happens. So basically, the effect is it's an open prediction. They supply the deck. You never touch the deck at any point. They shuffle the deck themselves. They spread through the deck face up. You look through the deck, but you're not touching it. They put the deck in front of them, and you say, you're going to stop on the six of diamonds, for example. They then deal the cards one by one themselves, face up onto the table. They stop whenever they want to, and they turn over the face down card. They've stopped. It's the Six of Diamonds. In the performance video I saw him do, he repeated this three times. I have two questions. One, I kind of agree with the jerks. This is just not fucking possible. It's just not fucking possible. And I do agree that his previous works are all very, very convoluted and messy. But second of all, I kind of take exception to how he's marketing it. Think about this for a minute. He's saying, you have to pay me $100 and then I will send you the trick after a period of time that I've decided that I'm not letting you know what that period of time is. And only if I reach a certain sales target, and I'm not telling you what that sales target is either, or whether we're even close to reaching that sales target. Now, so many magicians in magic hate pre-sales anyway. I hate pre-sales because it's never going to happen. It doesn't come out when they say it's going to come out. I'd rather wait for it to come out. In this case, you're not even guaranteed it's going to come out. Give me $100. You might get it. You might not. If you don't, I'll give you money back, honestly. But the parameters of whether this will come out or not, I'm not letting you know, but it's based on sales and it's based on a time frame that I'm not telling you. What the actual fuck is going on here? Over to you, Lloyd.
Well, I'm Jesus and Chris. It certainly seems like a cash grab in every stretch of the imagination, because what you could do is stick on Kickstarter so everyone can see when he's going to hit his goal. Be open about it. Be open about this open prediction. The one thing, though, is that I'll say I don't think this is impossible. I remember, and I think it's good to have these really impossible-looking performances put up there, because it might just be real, and if it's not, it gives people something to strive towards. I can think of two examples of this. One, Daniel Madison used to have a video online called Change, where he would hold a playing card and it would just shake. He would shake and it would just change to another card. Remember that? And it was like, sort of launched his career because it created so much interest and hype. And like, this is like 15, 20 years ago. It was called Change, and it like set the magic world on fire because he put 10 stipulations of what the method wasn't. He's like, no flap cards, no this, no that, whatever. And it's the most perfect fucking change. And everyone called bullshit on it, and everyone, loads of people trying to recreate it. I came up with a thing where I have a card that it would change then in slow motion, and it was a real method. So it was those lenticular cards. And although not super practical in real life, it was definitely not CGI. So you'd hold the card and it would change in super slow motion with no flaps, no threads. It sort of met a lot of the stipulations. And that came from just purely being inspired by trying to crack the code as to what Madison had. And then there's videos online of effects with cards that look completely impossible. If you look up this Andrew Gerard, there's a video of him in Australia. I think he's in Australia in a coffee shop, and he does like the most impossible any card at any number I've ever seen. And he does like two different performances of it. And I've watched like 1,000 times, and I have no idea what the method is. But it's something he's like, you know, he hasn't put that video up to fake it. It's like literally a casual like coffee shop performance in like Paul Romani's vlog or something. And again, it looks like it's bullshit, but it's not. And I've always like strived to like recreate that or try and figure out what the method is. And then, you know, so I'm the one thing I'm remiss to say is that it's completely impossible. And I don't think it's a bad thing to share performances like that if it is impossible, because somebody will figure out the way to do it. I thought it might be like an audio thing where he was shifting the audio potentially if that was going to be the case, but then he said it was a failure rate. Anyway, yeah, he needs two things if he's going to go down this route. He needs to share the secret with somebody outside of his circle that will validate him. In fact, that's all he needs to do. That's all he needs to do. If this is real and it's as clean as it looks, just let it be validated.
I mean, if I was him, I'd take him, and it is real, I'd take the jerks up on his offer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me $20,000, guarantee 200 sales, and rave about it on your blog?
Yeah.
Just if I can prove to you it's real? All right.
Done.
I'm done.
That's the only thing that makes you think it's bullshit. Because if he's Has he? Did he say no to that, or has he just not responded?
He just hasn't responded. But you can't tell me that the biggest magic blog in the world hasn't dropped on his doorstep when he's made two posts about this exact thing. Somebody in this guy's inner circle would have said to him, you need to see what the jokes is saying here.
Yeah. The method's probably that he's got, because Jake Keen has got a fucking incredible open prediction. And it looks just like the one in that video. And I won't talk about method, but I've seen him before. He performed it on me twice. I've seen him perform it a few more other times. But you couldn't really, I don't know if you could sell it or not, but it'd be one of those things. It looks exactly the same as the video. But I don't know whether he could sell it. And I think possibly that's where the, well, I'll get into methods anyway. That's where this guy, what's he called? Is he the unnamed or the unmasked magician?
The unnamed magician.
That might be the territory that he's in, is that he's got this method which can work, but it's not really product, like something you could package up as a product. And he might just be 50-50 on it. I don't think it's necessarily fully impossible. I think there might be more to the performance that you're not seeing.
Mm.
You know? But yeah, I think he just needs to do, if it's legit, he just needs to do one thing at a bare minimum and just have it validated by a third party.
Yeah.
That's it. Just do that. And if not, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I agree. I would love this to be real. I'm calling bullshit on this one. I'm sorry, mate. There's going to be something. There's going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not too difficult to think what that something is. But I believe possibly that it might be a case of that, you know, it could be that the spectator is not experiencing it exactly the way that it's performed, as in like you might be seeing something before or after, or it might, yeah, I don't know, or it could just be that he had an element of luck, not a luck, but you know, educated luck possibly, or
no, he did it three times in a row. That's not lucky.
Well, it depends, right?
Yeah.
Did he perform it 300 times to 300 people?
Well, he made it very, you know, when you look at the video, it's in a kitchen with people chatting in the background. It makes it look like it's not a studio performance, but he's just like grabbed a camera. Like it's a 7-minute video, but it's held vertically. It makes it look like it's very kind of like impromptu. Let's do this quickly. Let's just film this video. Well, that's the case.
I love it as a challenge. I'm gonna like go off and find a way to make that work.
I would love to find a way to make that work. That sounds brilliant.
What was the effect again? He just looks through the deck, right? And then he says...
Yeah, he gets the spectator to spread the deck face up after they've shuffled. He never touches the deck. He then puts the deck on the table. He says, put the deck on the table. Just take the cards, turn them face up. They're not even holding the deck. They're just turning the cards face up off the table.
All right. Let's see if I can stop you on get you to stop the Jack of Spades, right? So I'm going to deal through the cards. Does she do it or does he do it?
She does it. He doesn't even touch the deck.
Okay, so then, okay, but imagine you're doing it. You just tell me to stop.
Stop.
I don't know, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I think it's achievable.
You're right.
Marketable is probably the other question.
Well, there's a big difference, isn't there, between achievable and marketable.
Yeah. There is.
There's certain things that need to be in place in order for a trick to be completely marketable. And it's interesting that this guy's released a lot of procedural stuff and now is releasing this. I don't know. We're done with this. I don't know. But if you come up with a method, let me know.
Okay. I think the closest to the method that I've seen is Jake Keen.
Right. Gaze-ass marketing.
Maybe he should share that method on his Patreon.
Yes,
to his subscriber.
I am a member of his Patreon.
He might have already shared on there.
I don't know. Bring it the fuck on if he has. I haven't seen it, but he puts so much stuff. He puts so much stuff on his Patreon. It's impossible to keep up with it all.
Uh-huh. He's the best one on there. He's one of the best patrons alive. What I was going to say is there's another thing. Oh, yeah. Another thing I saw online was David Penn made a really good post. And this is just something that, like, I always thought for creators was a second nature thing, but it seems that people are getting pissed at him. He put up a performance video of an effect, and I don't know whether it was the creator of the effect or another magician, but like someone tried to say, hey, how fucking dare you share that without putting the credit for the creator in the video. Do you tell you?
I saw that post, yes. Ryland gets that a lot because Ryland shares a lot of videos and he'll like, hey, I'm going to... And when he was younger, and we had a conversation about
this. We did a whole episode on this actually years ago.
When he was younger, he used to tag in the creator because he wanted them to know that he was performing his trick, their trick. And I said, don't do that. You don't need to do that. They'll find out if they care. They'll find out. Just post the trick. And that's what he does now. He just posts the trick. He'll sometimes tag Murphy's in. If he knows it's a Murphy's trick, he'll sometimes tag Murphy's in. But he won't tag the creator. But the amount of times that people post on his videos and go, oh, this is so-and-so's. Why aren't you giving credit to them? So I see this happening quite a lot. Not to me, because I don't read
those. Well, so hard of thinking. It does my fucking brain in. Ryland is a public figure. He's been on live national television on BGT and other TV shows. Has he been on other TV shows? America's Got Talent as well, right?
America's Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent. He's been on Blue Peter.
Yeah, like he's a public... I mean, the only time I ever credit a magician, if I'm... I don't tend to do other people's... I do on my Fuller episodes, actually. But on like social media, if I was to ever perform another magician's trick, it would be offensive to them if it was public that I tagged them in it, because it kind of exposes that methods can be bought off shelf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's within magic groups and within like the magic fraternity,
yeah,
they always do your best to credit them and shout them out and everything. But, when it comes to public facing social media, you want to be a real fucking idiot if you think it. I'm not calling people that. If people want to tag the creator and they know why, that's okay. But if you think, if you're chastising magicians for doing the right thing and making it feel like a magic performance, not a fucking, you know, not a thing to expose, because it almost kind of exposes magic in a sense by doing that. Here I am performing Tiny Plunger by John Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's fucking stupid. It should never have to be said. The fact that someone had a go at him for it is crazy.
Yeah. It happens all the time. And you know, I like David Penn's approach because he said in the post, he said, if you've ever bought one of my tricks, I don't fucking care if you tag me. In fact, don't tag me. I don't care if you tell them that you created the trick. I'm not bothered. Tell them that you created the trick if you want to. I'm fine with that.
And I have messages of people asking me the same thing from years and years and years ago. Do I need to be tagged on? No.
Yeah, exactly. You bought the trick. Do what you want with it. I hate it when I buy a trick and it's the rights are withheld on YouTube. And that just doesn't fucking, like, oh, it's social media in general. Like, there's some tricks where they withhold TV rights and they say, please contact us if we want to have TV rights, which I understand. Like, Henry Harrius, Ryland did Venom Cube on Britain's Got Talent as part of the semifinals. And Venom Cube is a please contact me. And Henry said the reason we do that is because people want to perform at Venom Cube on TV. It wasn't that Henry wanted money or anything. It's like people will contact me and say, I want to do Venom Cube. And if I know it's being used on a really high profile TV show, and then somebody else wants to use it on a TV show that's going out at the same time, I think that's uncomfortable for the person that's already said, I've said yes to. So that's the reason why Henry does it. It's not really a money thing.
Okay, TV is a completely different animal. Not completely, and I mean, probably less as important these days than ever before. But yeah, the TV rights thing is a little bit of a grayer area. But YouTube rights and social media rights.
Yeah, some tricks will withhold any sort of performance on social media.
Like, also, the people that do that, how good do they think their trick is?
Oh, they think it's fucking amazing, don't they?
If you want to perform my trick on your YouTube channel, you have to ask for permission. Like, mate, let's be real. You're probably begging people to do your trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's not that many tricks that get picked up and used by other magicians by and large on a mass scale. You know, and most creators dream of that attention.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
You know? So, yeah, it's just people making themselves feel more important than they are.
It really is. Really.
Yeah, they played Dave Penn for shouting that out. It's a good point. I didn't think it needed to be said in 2026, but...
But apparently it does, unfortunately. I'll tell you something, changing the subject slightly. I saw you on the... you've been on there a couple of times now, on the Underperforming Hobbyists YouTube channel. He hasn't asked me to go on there, motherfucker. Cunt. However, you know, you've been on there twice.
God, how dare you call my boy a cunt?
He is a cunt. Doesn't ask me. Fuck him. And I did not give him permission to perform my fucking trick on YouTube. Fuck him.
Fred, Fred, joking, by the way. the ring voice note of Fred,
yeah,
saying that his dream is to get you on his channel.
Well, fucking and I said, the fuck on, man.
And I said I can make that happen immediately. In fact,
I whore myself out to anybody. The reason I was bringing him up is purely because I thought he did a fucking great job of Chop. His very first performance of it, he's got balls of steel to do that trick on YouTube for the very first time. Balls of fucking steel that guy has. I can't hear you. You're muted. Oh, you want me to speak? You want me to carry on speaking? Okay, right. Okay, and that's what this means. So yeah, if you don't know, the Underperforming Hobbyist everyone should go and subscribe to his channel because he's amazing. But the Underperforming Hobbyist had Lloyd on. He's been on there a couple of times, but he had Lloyd on, and he was performing Chop, and I watched the whole episode, and he performed Chop. He'd learned it and performed it for the very first time on YouTube in front of everybody, and he fucking did an amazing job, and I think everyone should go and watch that video for a couple of different reasons. One, the conversation between the two of them were very, very insightful, but secondly, it just shows that what I've talked about in the past, which is you just have to have the balls to go out there and do it.
Look, this is Fred saying that he wants you on his podcast after you just said all the awful things about him, you piece of shit scumbag.
Nice he was.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, I think maybe just getting to the crepe here. My life's complete.
Oh, wait, that was playing too fast speed. Let me go back.
He sounds like a smurf.
Getting to the crepe here, and that's it. I'm complete. My life's complete.
Because he's getting because he had Reed Ferry on his show.
I noticed the latest one. I haven't watched it yet because I've been over in California. But the
I said back to Fred. I said, Fred, if you want to get Craig to do your channel, come on your channel, I can make that happen immediately. Oh, and I was going to ask you today, and then you turn around and say all that stuff. So I think, Fred, I think you should ban Craig from your channel. Like, he was banned from the Magic Circle twice in a row.
Don't ban me from your channel.
Okay, remember me too. Oh, the little.
You're not really a cunt. You're just a little cunt. You're the diet clay. Calorie, not cunt enough. You know.
Oh my god, you're digging such a hole.
That's what she said.
Anyway, sorry, I said there's a phlegm then.
No, Fred did a fucking great job of Chop. He really did. It was a really good performance, and you could tell he was nervous doing it.
I loved his ending with it back in the wallet, crumpled up.
Dude, that kind of fooled me a bit. I don't know.
It had me too. It really had me because I really
didn't see that coming. Because I do a version of it with a post-it note where I pull the post-it note off and I do it with the post-it note, and then it's back on the post-it note pad that I put to one side at the beginning. And so that, which is cool. I'll just say, sign a post-it note. We're going to take it off, put the post-it note to one side, do Chop, and at the end, everything's gone back in time and it's back on the post-it note pad and we're all back where we began. That was better. What he did there, the finale, just completely got me. And I kind of realized 3 seconds before he was going to, when he went to the wallet, I was like, oh, you motherfucker, don't do this. No, 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 no. Yeah, it was really good. Really, really good.
I think he's going to be massive. If he keeps being consistent, I think he's going to be one of the hugest YouTubers. And also, massive congratulations for him for hitting over 1,000 subscribers. He doesn't look at his analytics, doesn't get into it or anything, but it's a milestone.
It really is. Congratulations. You're going to be taking over me soon. Yeah. That's what she said.
Hey. Lads.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah. Go check out the Performing Hobbyist. It's great. And I would absolutely be on his channel any day of the week. He's great. I was listening to, you know, you mentioned the Slight Co earlier on. Obviously, the Slight Co and Twisted Magic, they do a podcast together, which is actually my favorite podcast right now. I love these guys. It's so insightful because they actually are two magic shop owners talking about what tricks are doing well, what tricks are doing bad, what they've bought in. It's just a really interesting conversation. And they were talking about an interesting subject, and I thought I'd bring this up to you. On their latest episode, they talked about mentors in magic, and they talked about, I did a interview on Magic TV with James and Marina from Mind to Mind, and they said that one of the big secrets to their success was effectively hiring David Penn to be a consultant on their show. And David went to Dubai and spent time in Dubai really refining their show. And then, they came to Northampton, and he's been working with them now for a couple of years. And the big thing that everyone talks about, which is the finale of Mind to Mind's act, where they get the PIN code. You know about this, right? They get the PIN code, his credit card, which nobody knows how it works. You know, they just, they're no stooging, no nothing. This is one of the reasons. Oh, hang on. There's somebody at my door. Just talk for a minute. Yes, there is. There's somebody at the hotel door.
Oh, God. And the hotel at like 4 a.m. What the fuck? Oh, God. This is going to be Ego Masika with a baseball bat to break Patty's legs. Well, on that note, okay. Answers on a postcard. I bet it's because he's being too loud talking.
Apparently, some complaints.
Oh, I see.
Apparently, people don't like that at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking loudly.
I thought it was going to be Egon Masika with a baseball bat, you know.
He does live in California. I'm going to keep this down a bit. I'm still going to talk, but I don't want to annoy the hotel. They're a nice hotel. I like it. So,
you should have just pretended you were asleep and answered the door, like, what's wrong? And then say you've got that. See, I have sleep apnea.
They said, the guy said, we're getting complaints. Can you turn the TV down? I'm like, I'm not watching the TV, but I'm talking to my mate in Wales.
I'm waxing the dolphin. it's gnarly of Mind to Mind when they do the pin.
Yeah, so it's a pin code reveal. So James is in the audience. Marina is blindfolded.
Yeah.
James will have somebody who will just say, hey, can you take a credit card out of your wallet? He'll hold the credit card. She'll get all the information about the credit card, and then she'll reveal the PIN number. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why one of the reasons why they won the world championships. And it fooled the judging panel so much that they had to go and have a meeting with the judges, because the judges were going to disqualify them because they thought they were using stooges or pre-show, as that's the only way they could think of it being done. And they had to go and prove to the judging panel that what they did was legitimate. And then that's when they won the world championships. And they were like, well, me and James was like, me and Marina call this the pen code, not the pin code, because David Penn came up with that. And he came up with the whole concept, and he came up with everything. And they were talking about how important having a mentor is, and that the reason that they are where they are right now is because of basically David Penn. And the guys on the Twisted, you know, the Twisted podcast, Twisted Slide podcast. They
slightly twisted.
Slightly twisted, that's it. They were talking about how, you know, is having a mentor still valid in 2026? You know, because with everything that's happening online, is it still important to have a mentor? Because when I got into magic, everyone had a mentor. You know, like a lot of people were like, oh, there's this old bloke that's been doing magic for like 50 years. He's the one that like really kind of guides me to success. What's your viewpoint on that?
What was the question? How valid is it, or how important?
Is having a mentor in 2026 a important thing? Is it a valid thing? Is it a thing that you think needs to happen?
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously, look at, 2026, they've just won FISM. You know, they're storming the world right now, and they're saying it's thanks to a mentor. So yes, absolutely. Just depends on the type of, depends what you're going for. Like, I've never had a mentor, but then my role in Magic has never been, my role is more of the mentor, you know, and I've, a lot of my stuff has been like self-driven. So for someone in my position, and I suppose someone in your position quite a lot as well, you're much more of a mentor than you are not so much that you're not a student or a master. No, nobody's the master, right? And neither of us will ever be close to one. I think there's only like three living masters of Magic. But yeah, I think it depends. Like, if definitely, I think you need a mentor for sure if you are doing shows, live shows, because you cannot be in two places at once. You cannot watch your show whilst performing it.
Yeah.
A mentor will come in and oversee it and tell you what needs. Basically, the mentor sees the stuff that you can't see, sees the gaps that you can't see, fixes any holes that are, you know, in the leaking ship that you can't see. And I can't imagine there'd be anything wrong with having a mentor either. It's just about, I think, you know, it's about picking the right mentor is half the battle, you know, if not more than anything. And it depends what you go for. If you're someone, yeah, I think maybe I look at the word mentor in the wrong way. It's about having a community of people that you trust. For me, for me, like, my mentorship is like my close knit community, like you, Jake Keane, Darren, whoever I forget off my list, but you know what I mean, like that close knit group of friends. That's essentially like my mentor. But it's more about like getting advice. A mentor, I suppose, is someone who's been there, done that, and has the experience. And yeah, if you can get a good one, do it. I think if you think you know everything and that nothing can be improved in what you do, or nobody else's input is valuable to you, then you're 10 steps behind the next guy. Automatically.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah.
I know. So I think, yeah, if you look at all the great magicians, all of them talk about their mentors. Danny DeVortis, Javier Benitez, look at like Blaine, always talked about the mentors that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you look at all the
I remember interviewing a few years ago, Young and Strange, and they said that the best thing that they ever did is they hired Andy Nyman to come in and watch their whole show and rip it apart for them from a directorial point of view.
Yeah.
And they said, that's the biggest thing that happened to us as an act.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Do you know one thing that's interesting that I see is that I think it's really important to divert. So this is not about Andy Nyman whatsoever, but I see a trend in some TV shows where a lot of the same people are being used in the background for like some of the consulting and stuff, and that leads to the shows for having very, very, very similar feelings, similar styles, but it's not the style of the magician on the show. And I'm thinking about one in particular on Netflix, or two in particular on Netflix that I saw like 3 years ago, and you can tell very much that if you're going to pick a mentor, you have to pick the right mentor. Some people just pick the mentor or they think of the right consultant just because they've heard they're a good consultant.
Yeah.
But I think about when you're picking someone to work with, you have to, it's about finding out that a lot of their interests align with your style and what you're into as well. But also finding someone that will give you fresh perspective at the same time and challenge you.
Yeah,
like try to push you outside of your comfort zone, because I see when there are times where like magicians will pick a consultant or a team of consultants or a director, and you're like, what the fuck's gone? Like, why would you even work with them? And then you end up watching the show, and it just looks like everyone else's show. And you're like, oh well, you know. And then the people that pick up a really good team and they get a really good mentor, they end up going into the stratosphere.
Yep, yep.
So it's like, you know, you've got to make wise choices. Person.
Yeah, finding that right person is so important.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because it might be someone you know that's really, really good, but their style is not going to help you in any way, shape, or form.
And that's the advice I always give people. If you're going on Britain's Got Talent or America's Got Talent or one of those talent shows, get somebody to help you. Don't try and do it on your own.
Okay, if someone tried to hire me, yeah, right? Say they were like an emotional mentalist that lent really heavily on seances or fortune telling and stuff, and then someone contacted me, hey Lloyd, I love your magic. Will you come in and be the consultant for my show? If I was greedy, I would say, yeah, I'll be there in a heartbeat. I know consultants that do that. But what I would say is no, because I'm not going to give you as much as X is going to give you. Like, you know, so-and-so, this person is going to be a better fit for you a million times over, regardless if I don't win.
Yeah.
But yeah, mentors, they absolutely have their place.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time, like in coaching, in sports, and in music, in the music industry, and even in like other avenues of art and entertainment, is that some people, as much as they are like the talent, but they're also the tool. So like, you know, like you look at a sports person, they're often like a finely precise, precision made, well-crafted tool. I don't mean that as like an offensive thing. You know, they're a weapon, but that has to be guided and steered, you know? And often you can have a magician that's incredibly entertaining, has the amazing chops, great stage presence, but they don't know what the fuck to talk about. They don't know what this show is about. They don't have their story. And amazing. So you've got somebody who's this perfect mold of what you need, and you combine that with somebody that knows exactly what the audience wants, and together you create, that's alchemy right there, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. 100%. 100%. Completely agree with you. I've had lots of mentors, but I have lots of business mentors as well. I have lots of mentors in business as well as in, as well as in magic. I think that having a business mentor, if you're a professional magician, I don't understand why magicians would be a pro and go it alone. I think you need somebody to help guide you if you want to be successful at what you're doing.
Yeah. I in my head, I don't have a mentor, but I think I have like a floating mentor, which is I talk to a lot of people, a lot of different people, a lot of different positions in different places. And that's like my like communal mentorship. That makes sense.
Which works really well. Yeah, works really well. I know that, you know, you've got you've got a group of people that you trust, like a circle of people that you can trust. That's totally the way to do it. Yeah, 100%.
If you were going to do a show and take it super seriously, and you were going to try and tour a show, who would you ask to be your mentor?
If there was not an option of saying no, I would go with Russ Stevens.
Oh wow! I thought you were gonna say like David Stone or something. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'd go for Russ Stevens because the guy has been there, done it all, bought the T-shirt.
He fucking does it 100%.
Yeah, it'd be Russ Stevens. And I've also seen his process because I was there with Ryland, watching his process with Ryland, and seeing what he achieved with, let's be honest, a 9-year-old kid, and that's green, and then you see what he managed to do with Ryland, and then you see him do it again and again and again. It's not luck, it's not a fluke when you see it happening again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah, great shout. And yeah, you should think about doing it.
Oh god, no, I've been told. But I want to talk about one last thing. I'm here at Murphy's. One thing that we do on this podcast is we talk about new releases and we talk about stuff that's coming out. I have been at the Murphy's studio and at the warehouse the last couple of days, and I've seen a couple of things that are coming out soon. I don't know whether I'm allowed to talk about it or not, but fuck it. What are they going to do? Kick me out of California? They need me. So there's a couple of things I've seen that I think are quite cool that I thought I'd quickly mention. And the first is, I saw the other day, and you probably know about this because obviously you worked at Murphy's and you're friends with Javier, but I saw Javier's new version of the Nexus wallet.
You probably can't talk about that.
Can't I?
I don't think so.
Well, fuck him.
Fuck. Well.
Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, Doid.
Jesus.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, like very, 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 very rarely someone will bring out a 2.0 that actually has like updates or it's worth bringing out. This thing is just like, it's from the fucking Mars or something.
He blew my mind with this fucking thing. This is like, I remember the Nexus wallet. I gave it a good review, but this is next fucking level. And they told me they've been holding off on bringing it out for about 6 to 8 months because they've just been testing the wallet. Because a couple of people said with the old wallet, the stitching came apart. They've gone with completely different leather, completely different manufacturer. And they've been holding off and testing this thing and putting it through the paces because they didn't want anybody to have issues like that.
Show you some of the routines with like driver's licenses and stuff.
Yes, it's fucking nuts.
It's the first thing in a long. It's so bad because he's like one of my boys, mm-hmm. but it's the first. So I can't sound unbiased, but it's the first product in a long, long, long fucking time where I'm a day one buyer, like legit. I don't even have a wallet, but I actually am. The Lexus wallet was the last wallet I was using. It was the last wallet I used because everything's contactless now.
Yeah.
But the stuff you can do with that is just different gravy. It's fucking banana, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's nuts. It's fucking incredible. I'm calling it right now. This is the trick of the year. It is. Every single person is going to throw away their wallet.
It's a trick. And it's also a utility. It's definitely, I would be willing to do some sort of like comparison video online for this. But I'd be very willing to say that it will be the next best wallet it'll be the best wallet of the next few years for sure. I'm trying to think, there's not going to be anything that can really compare to it. I'm really racking my brain, but it's going to be phenomenal. They just have to do a good job of making sure people see it. Getting visibility on it.
Yeah.
If I had a free choice of every wallet on the market, without a shadow of a doubt, I'd be using that one.
It's ridiculously good.
But I don't know if you were allowed to talk about it now. So.
I'll check. It's better to ask for.
No, fuck it. Forgiveness.
Yeah, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Another thing that I saw is, I believe it's something that you had a hand in. I don't know the name of it, but it's another thing that I think maybe you and have worked on together. And I'm going to be more careful with this stuff now because I don't want to get in trouble. It's an everyday carry. You know what I'm talking about?
Did you see it?
Oh, ho, 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 ho. It's amazing.
Was it?
Yeah. So good. So good. It's fucking incredible, Lloyd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right up your street.
It really is.
Do you feel the weight on it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're giving me one to take away. I'm very excited. Yeah. And one of the wallets as well. I'm very excited. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. That other thing's called the Void.
The Void. That's it. Da, 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 da. I'm going to go on record. This is the best everyday carry I've ever seen.
I like to be so hyperbolic. I'd be comfortable saying that it's the best one for the moment. Like, that's come up so far. So I think it'll inspire people to make more versions of it. Yes. But for where I'm really proud of it. I think it's really, really good.
Amazing. It's so good. So good. I also saw the new Envelopes by Nicholas Mavresis and David Jonathan.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Oh, yeah, they're called the
Gang. Oh, wait. Oh, I know what they are. Yeah, they're clever as fuck, aren't they?
Yeah, really fucking good. Really fucking good. I think if you're a mentalist, you're going to jizz your pants over those things. They're brilliant. They really are. I mean, I've seen some stuff that I know I definitely can't talk about, but I went out for lunch with Javier and George yesterday. And I was like, so what you got coming out? And he just listed about 15 different things. I'm like, is this all yours? He's like, yeah, I've got this coming out and 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 this coming out. I'm like, fuck me. This is all like...
I've said it for so long. I think Javier's the best creator in magic that no one Like, everyone knows him. And he did have, remember that YouTube channel he started and it blew up and then he stopped making videos?
Yep.
I've said it before. I think he's the best creator. I think if people could see some of the crazy shit that he has that just hasn't come out, they wouldn't believe it.
No, it's insane. I've always had a lot of respect for Javier, but seeing some of the stuff he's got coming out and talking to him about some of the stuff that he's got in prototype, my respect level for him has gone through the roof.
Oh, it's gonna, yeah, dude. Oh. Man. Don't see, I wanna bust out the void now. I wanna start playing with it. I got shit to do. I've literally got one here.
It's really good. It's really fun.
On that note, we gotta cut it. You're being too loud. I got shit to do. Let's wrap it up. Go to themagicpodcast.co/convention, is it?
Yes. I know we said we were gonna announce the first lecture, but I'm over in California. We wanted to wait till I'm back in the UK. So next week, we'll announce the first lecture. Tickets are still selling. We are super excited about this convention. Please, guys, go and jump on the website. Go and order tickets. This is going to be brilliant. We want this to be like the start of one of the biggest conventions of the calendar year. And we think we can do that. And we do it with your help and your support. Tickets are only £50 for a two-day convention. Go and get your tickets right now.
Yeah, and that's going to themagicpodcast.co, and then you'll see the tickets thing.
There's a form that you fill in, and then when you fill in the form, it'll give you two PayPal links, and you just click on the PayPal link, and you pay by the link, and you'll get a receipt, and then we'll be in touch with the tickets in the next few weeks.
Dash.
Outside of that, I need to be quiet, so you can wrap this up, Lloyd. I'm trying not to get in trouble with the hotel. Apparently... You know, we've been going for quite a while.
I want chocolate digestives, and it's 5 a.m, you fucking head case. Right. Have a shit week, and remember, please stop fucking kids.
That's why, yeah, exactly. Do not fuck your kids. I will be back very soon with Lloyd. Until then, you've been watching the Magic Podcast. Now all of you fuck off.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.